2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15. I read the verse and I preach quickly from that verse. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15. And the Bible says, once again, there was a battle between the Philistines and Israel. David went down with his men to fight against the Philistines, and he became exhausted. And Ishbenob, one of the descendants of Rapha, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels and who was armed with a new sword, said he would kill David. And Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue. He struck the Philistine down and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, say, never again will you go out with us to battle, so that the Lamb of Israel will not be extinguished. 3 points I want to make very quickly before I begin to preach. I'll probably be able to preach within the time. Praise God. Number 1 point that I want you to get is, battles are not won until the leaders are captured. Battles are not won. You don't end the battle. You don't finish a war until the leader of the battle, of the leader of the army, you know, is caught. When you catch the leader, and that's when the battle is done. You know, and that's the essence of salvation, ladies and gentlemen, because when the devil was caught, that was when we had the victory. And so any point in time, the battle continues to rage until the leader is caught, and that's when the devil is done. And therefore, when you go out in battle, two things you do, the people that fight, two things they do. Number one, they fight to destroy their enemy. Number two, they fight to protect their leader. Listen, no matter how strong the lieutenants are, no matter how strong the support is, they are not the target. The target is the leader of the team. The leader of the team is the target of the enemy at every point in time. When the leader is caught, when Goliath was caught, that was the end. That was the declaration. The moment that the army of the Philistines saw that the Goliath had been beheaded, that was the end of the battle. They all fled. Even the mighty men of amongst them, they all fled. So the first part I want you to know is this. The leader is the target at every point in time. And a battle is not over until the leader is caught. Number 2 point I want you to get. I want to call you this morning to the Lordship of Jesus, not only for Jesus, you know, to be your Savior. I said last month in one of the sermons, you know, I think it was last Sunday I was saying, I said the truth of the matter is that a lot of us believers have taken Jesus as our Savior, but not as our Lord. The Lordship of Jesus begins in your life when you lay it all, when you give it all, when you say, take charge, take control of my life. That's when the Lordship of Jesus comes. And so I challenge you this morning that we move from the level of sonship and listen to the level of servanthood. There's a difference between being a son and being a servant. Number 3 that I want you to get this morning, besides the fact that the battle is not done until the leader is gotten, besides the fact that, you know, you move from the level, you know, of sonship to become a steward, the third point that I want you to get is the fact that our lives are purposes. When every man takes position, need will be eradicated in the body. Let me repeat that. When every man takes position, need will be eradicated. There are needs because men have failed to take position. There are needs because men are not doing what they are supposed to do in the body. When positions are taken, needs will be eradicated. And our lives have been designed as purpose. Let me put it another way. Our lives have been designed not to feed vacuum. Lives designed not to meet needs. Our lives are designed for purpose. When you haven't discovered the purpose, that's when there's need in the body. And so if you haven't discovered your purpose, the truth of the matter, you are contributing to the problem of the church. And that's why it's critical and crucial for you to listen to me this morning. Three things the Bible mentioned here. David followed his people to fight. I'm not sure your mic is working. David followed his people to fight. And the Bible says that in the process of warfare, three things happened. The first thing that happened was the fact that David fought so much and he became a exhausted. The second point I want us to see, when he became exhausted, he became vulnerable. He became a target. The Bible says because he was weak, he was weary. The Bible says there was an enemy that was ready to fight. In other words, it looks like the enemy has been watching him fight. He's been seeing him controlling the battalion. He's been seeing him controlling, you know, the people that come or that went with him to battle. And the Bible says at the point in time, he became tired. He became weary. And when he became weary, I guess what's it mean? The manifestation of the weariness would be as a result of rallying. He went to rest. You know, he went to sleep. There's a bottom line that there was certain manifestation that showed that this man was weak. And that was the time he became susceptible. That was the time they wanted to see. They put him facing when he was out. They couldn't face him when the power was there. They couldn't face him when he was killing, you know, the enemies. But when they saw that he became weary and tired, they faced him. They said the time to kill is now. But praise God for the mighty men of David. Praise God. Let me say to you, leaders, you are undoing yourself when you are not building the people around you. You know that sometimes the way we live our lives as leaders is that you want to do everything. You don't want to trust anybody. You don't want to build successors. You are the one that wants to be from A to Z. You want to control people's life. Until they see you, their life will not happen. Until you talk to them, their life will not make meaning. You are undoing yourself, actually, because the day of your weakness is coming. There's nobody that is going to stand in the gap. So if you're a wise leader, you build a team. You don't build an individual. If you're a wise leader, you build a system. You don't build a personality. And that's the way the church will grow. That's the way the church should grow. That's the way the church should be strengthened. When a leader gives back to another leader, when a leader gives back to another leader, one of the mighty men of David, he noticed that David was going to be killed. And he knew that the death of David was going to be the end of the war. He moved closer. Before the man would finish David, he came in and killed the man. Can get tired. Leaders can be weary. It's not a problem. Let me tell us a few assumptions that we make about leaders. I give us about two. I have about four because of time. But one critical mistake we all make about leaders, we say they are superhuman. We all say your pastor is superhuman. We all say your leader is superhuman. David went to war with them as a superhuman fellow. Someone that was more than the ordinary. We all think like that. Say that pastor is infallible. That pastor is a super, he can never make a mistake. He will continue to fight war as though he does not sleep while you sleep. It's only God that does not sleep nor slumber. Your pastor sleeps. Your pastor slumbers. Praise God. He's a human being like you. That's why the Bible called them men of God. He did not call them God. In other words, they are men and of God. They are not God of men. You make a mistake when you make, you know, your pastor God or man. And it's a mistake. It's a fallacy. When you have pastors, when you have teachers, you have GOs, they made themselves God or man. And the church is so bad today because actually that's what you want. An average person in church wants, you know, doesn't want to take responsibility of his life. Why have you done what you've done? The prophet said I should do it. Why did you marry the person you married? It is the prophet that chose it for me. Oh boy, take responsibility of your own life. When you make mistake, make it your own mistake. When you succeed, celebrate your success. We are all men. We are bound, you know, to make mistakes. We are bound, you know, to fall sometimes. That's what the Bible says. When the righteous falls, he will rise up again. He did not say when unbeliever falls. He did not say when the devil falls. He said when a Christian falls, a Christian will rise up again. If I say a Christian can fall second time, third time, fourth time, five time, sixth time. So the first mistake we make, we assume that that man is superior. The second fallacy we make about leaders is that we think they don't have any problem. Oh, they are made. They don't have any need. Like some people said to me, they said, Pastor, I want to do something for you. I don't know what to do. You have everything. Who says I have everything? I don't have everything. At least I don't have the latest model of MN Benz. Praise God, somebody. You know that we assume they have everything. They don't lack. That is a fallacy. Thank God that this man was near David. I guess they assume that David can never be tired. He has everything. He has all the anointing. The anointed can be weary on the road. Number three, fallacy. You come to them. You know, somebody came to me and said, I dreamt. I want you to give me an interpretation. That's the last thing I want to hear. If you dreamt, I was not the one that dreamed. You dreamt. Why should I give interpretation to your own dream? It's because we assume that they have answer to everything. And you know, sometimes the hero or leader, sometimes you position yourself as though you have answers to everything. And that's why many people dying in church today. You have many people backsliding in church today because leaders have positioned themselves as God and kings in their lives. You don't have an answer. And a leader should be humble enough to say, I'm sorry, I don't have an answer. It's a show of the fact that you are saying that I'm human. It's a show of the fact to say, I'm directing you to God. The moment you are positioning yourself as if you have answers to everything, what you are saying to the people around you is, I am God. And so the day you make a mistake, the whole church will scatter. Jesus knew where to find them. You know that he did not find them in the church. He did not find them mourning him. He did not find them looking for him. Oh, are we? Yes, we see the Lord in here. That could be one net. Understand? Let's go back and fishing. Let's go. You went to the best Bible school in the whole universe. Have you forgotten? Jesus was teaching about Jesus in that Bible school. God was teaching about God in that Bible school. The Word was teaching about the Word in that Bible school. You know, in the Bible school of today, I'm teaching about Jesus. Somebody is teaching about Jesus. Jesus was teaching about Jesus. What better Bible school do you want to attend? Yet the people backslide. I suppose that, look, even when he was no longer there, the things he taught you should be coming back. Those things he said should be coming back. All the prophecies should be coming back. Oh my God, they forgot everything. Peter said, Andrew, Daku, I wear Janye, but ni show ti so no. Inti ma inso unti bati elo niye Daku. Let's go back there. You know, sometimes we all go back there in our lives. And so when I say people go back there, I don't kill them. People have gone back there in the scriptures. Jesus was not upset. I thought Jesus would say I'm a failure. I thought Jesus would say I only yam yo. I thought Jesus would begin to curse them. You know, some people, they curse some people when they leave their church. My own senior pastor pray for me, so don't go there. Amen. Praise God. They understand that they get upset. Jesus was not upset. He knew that they were not superhuman. He went back to them. You know what he did? Everything that he taught and preached, he taught and preached to them once again. Let me give us some points. What brings exhaustion? Sir David was exhausted. He felt like giving up. I'm sure you know a lot of churches are closed up. Let me tell you some of the reasons why those churches are closed up. Lack of support. That's number one. Lack of support. There's a similar story in the Bible. I don't want to go there because of the time. You permit me, I spend some minutes, you know, extra this morning. You know that when God said to Moses, he said, you are going to fight the Amalekites. It was God that spoke to Moses. It was not man that spoke to Moses. It was God that spoke to Moses. He said, don't fight Amalekites, you are going to win them. And so Moses, he called Joshua. He said, Joshua, go and fight. God has given us those people. And when they were going to war, Moses and Aaron and some of his supporters, they went to the mountain. And the Bible says, as long as Moses was lifting his hands, they continued to win. When the hands were coming down, they started losing. The hands going up, they were winning. Now, God said, you are going to, it was God that gave the order. Listen, God can open a door for you, but you might need your wisdom to keep the doors open. You know that sometimes what we do is this. If God has opened the door, I say, Olombo wani, egbakoti ejokoti lego, you want nikan. God has opened the door. You need some strategy. You need some common sense. You need some logic to keep the door open. And that's why the people of this world are better than us. They know how to keep the door open. Oh, are you forgotten? You don't know that God do open door for unbelievers too. Oh, go read the book of Romans. He said, perchance they will repent. That's why he opens door for them as well. But find out that most of them know how to keep the door open better than that believer. Believers, we assume a lot. We assume about God. We thought that God has opened it. God should keep it open. And then we behave foolishly. And so when he will raise his hand, they'll be winning. When the hands will go down. And then common sense. Aaron said, okay. This is about hands being raised. Okay. He said, Baba, please, Ejoku, I'll be preaching on that. I'll be telling you what the stone meant. You know, when I preach on that. He sat and said, let's support the hand. God is not angry with supporting the hands. God is not angry. The bottom line is for the hands to be raised. Whether it's going to be Okuta left, you raise it. Whether it's going to be men that we raise it. Whether it's going to be whatsoever. Even whether you are going to nail the hand, you know, to the wall. He said, Baba, I come on in here, show him up, you know, le roi deo. You know, because the bottom line is the hand should be kept raised. He couldn't do that. They were fighting all day, all night. He couldn't cope. He needed some help. The pastor needs some help. When there's no support, your pastor is exhausted. We assume. I got a lot of support to get this done. I get a lot of support to get all this. I don't know anything about equipment. I don't know good microphone. But God brought some people. I could have been the one, you know. I thank God for some people. You know that before I know I'm going to start a church, Bro Luba Wale and his wife, they knew that I was going to start a church. He came to me. He said, you are going to start a church. I'm going to follow you. He said, anytime I'm going to follow you. That was the first convert. That is my easy. That's Peter Wangi. That was the first person. You know, say, I'm going. I think it was referring me to, I spoke it to in the office. I said, look, me, they said I should be going to start the job. I was shocked the way he said, only acting like you want all your love. You understand that? You know, support. I'm talking support. No, last week I told you about even some of my people that they said, Baba, Father. I said, I'm going to start the church. I said, we shall miss you. Imagine that I came here, I'm the only person. We've been praying since January in this place. Imagine, I'm the only one praying. Frustration would have come. Frustration would have come. And somebody, God made a music director. Where's the young man? Okay. Yeah, I've never met him. I don't know my life. But when I saw him, and time has proven that the hand of the Lord is upon him. And he said, don't worry, Pastor. I'm going to get a keyboardist. I'm going to get a drummer. I'm going to get them. I'm going to get people who want to joke with. So in other words, in the process of destiny, God has prepared this young man. I'm talking about what brings exhaustion when you don't have support. And I said, boy, begin to attend Mokola. I want you to see the way we sing. He said, yes, sir. And that's how we assemble the music team. The music team does not have anybody from Mokola from beginning to the end like this. No Mokola showed up. Nobody said, Pastor, how we can help you? He said, Pastor, we shall miss you. If everyone said, Pastor, we shall miss you. I get it. I want to see my wife. Your daffy, you shall miss you now. Thank God, me, God will bless you. One of the things that cause exhaustion is lack. Number two is distraction caused by church needs. You know, in Acts chapter 6, the Bible says the church was growing, people were coming. At a stage, the Bible says that people started fighting about food. And the apostle said, No, we need to be careful. In other words, distraction was going to come in. Distraction was going to come in. And they said, No. We must not be distracted. We must give ourselves continuously to prayer and the preaching of the word. He said, you go, get amongst yourselves. In other words, a man of God can get exhausted when he's distracted by the needs of the people. Oh, there are good needs. When I said church, we begin to share food. I just put some people in charge. No, we must give our own self to prayer and to sharing of the word. Distraction can make believers or the leaders of a team, you know, to be weary and get exhausted. Number three, lack of men. And I put this deliberately. You need to get this. The church is filled with a lot of babies. People that are not matured. People that you need to tie nappy for all the time. You know, the Bible was saying, he said, the time you people should be eating, you know, strong meat, he said, we are still giving you, you know, non-four, non-two, non-three, you know. Because you lack men in church. The church is filled with people that be complaining. People that will be, they'll be seeing what is not. Church, itile iba de maju ba ilo. Amu yo mawa. Iru aga wola fi joko ina. I think we should get better chair. The choir. One sherunda ada. Those are babies. Men get things done. When you see that the land, somebody came to me. He said, Pastor, who are the people cleaning this place? I want to join them. Those are men. Lack of men make a man of God to be exhausted. I don't want this church, people that come on Sundays and then they walk away. What are you doing? If you are not doing nothing, you are part of the problem we are trying to solve. That's the truth. I don't say don't come. We just know that you are part of the problem we are trying to solve. But the church, everybody should find a place and get something done. Everybody should bring some value. Everybody should bring an improvement. The people that were exhausted, the people that were ordinary people, the people that were nobody, they grew to become men of David, and those were the people that helped him the day he was going to be killed. Exhaustion comes when you don't have men. Exhaustion comes when there's lack of appreciation and honor. Let me say this to you. As long as you remain a believer, don't ever forget that your pastor, a Christian leader, needs thank you, sir. Many of us, we don't do it. You don't celebrate your pastor. You don't celebrate your leader. You think they are doing their job. It's the one that is called. Come on, Shelo. One power away, she pastor. I will listen to Bawa. But only one way. No. What killed many pastors, what actually made pastors to four churches is when their people don't appreciate them. You have people in church that you spent your life for, pray days and night. Somebody was just chatting me yesterday. He said, I've never said this to you, sir. He said, you are the one that prayed for me the first time I traveled out of the country. So when I was going for my interview, that was, he quoted the year. I said, he said, you are the one. And that's why. The person gave us 300,000 when starting this church. The family are relocated. So it was yesterday. He said, Pastor, I'm a member of your church, even though we don't live in Nigeria. But a lot of us, you just be taking. Like I was telling somebody this morning, I know about this project he's been involved in. I said, how would they be paying you? He said, just on Friday. I said, bring your tithe too. I'm not asking for, but bring your tithes. You must say thank you. If that's the only thing you can say to your pastor. Well done. Say, if you can do more, you do more. Let me say something to you. There's a difference between giving your offering, giving your tithe, and giving to your pastor. I will tell you that. Glory to God. I will have more. So when I say give to your pastor, I'm not begging money from you. But you think I'm begging. It is for your good. That's the way to live a robust Christian life. Pastor Fred was asking me about my shoe this morning. Do you understand? So that means I wear one of the best shoes in this church. I can tell you that. My children knows I have over 60 pairs of shoes. Thank God they have they are not stealing it. They are using it. They understand that I look good all the time to the glory of God. So it's not, when I say give to the servant of God, it's not that I'm begging. It is for your good. That's one of the things that keys people of God. I have one minister that has joined us now. He came to me, he told me his story. He was a pastor of a church. According to him, which I believe, I don't want to investigate. You know, he got thrown out one way or the other. And so somebody brought him here. I said, sir, just say. And they said, don't worry, I put you on salary. He's a man, he does not have any other thing he's doing. So where is he going to start now? We want a man of God to be borrowing money or to be begging for money? I said, don't worry. I will give you on salary, then I will look for what you begin to do. Do you get that? You know that you give job to people for and you put on salary. This one, I said, I will give you salary, then I will now look for what you begin to do. And it's church that will be doing that. When church is doing that, this church will be blessed. And the thing that brings exhaustion is criticism and careless talk. Church member, they know more than the pastor knows about himself. All kind of stories and criticism and all kind of talks, loose talks, flippant talks, you know, talks that are not it. The truth of the matter is that when you become a pastor, you become everybody's everybody. Do you understand that? So everybody, they know you. Even the house that they don't know, they describe to people that that's the house. Until mistake. But criticism. Keep the people. I was talking to somebody. I said, look, when you want to criticize a thing, first talk about the good part of it. It's not when they say something to you that your own comment will be, it's not good. Or you bring out the flaw.
you bring out the other side of it. I said, first celebrate that thing. Nobody can ever be your friend who you criticize all the time. You don't say anything good. Somebody has taken prayer meeting, and then I want to give 5 comments. All the 5 is about he didn't do well. Next time when he comes here, he will do worse. But I know that this guy has not done well, but let me thank him that he came. You know, some people say you take prayer meeting, Pastor Joy shall know me, Joy shall know me. You must take it. You know what we do? Prayer meeting, we disappear from church. So next time I say, Pastor Joy, tie a motor, Milo Joe, but Joe, Tamawa, mechanic, you know, and mechanic, day, and silence, I ja, he go go and last is off when you pay, while I deba year, new, if you want a prayer meeting. The fact that somebody has come here, I salute you. Oh, Pastor, what are you preaching? Come and take the mic next Sunday. I'm going to see what you're going to preach. One of my daughters lives in Lagos. I'm sure she's listening. He said, Pastor Shola, you become an international preacher. That's Brahmi Wa Locos. He said, speak less Yoruba. So this morning I'm speaking less of Yoruba, isn't it? Praise the Lord. You know, so criticism can kill a man. Criticism can make a man not to be a man. You get him distracted, and then frustration will come in. What are the consequences? When a man becomes weary, what are the consequences? They become vulnerable. I know some people that have left churches in some other churches. You know why they've left? Because the pastor has said their story. Because the pastor has said some words that they don't like, and they get offended. A man of God can offend the church, can offend individuals when he becomes vulnerable. It's a consequence of the fact that the man is weak. And so when you see your pastor do things that you don't like, the man is weak. Let me round up. Because of time, I have some 4 points I want to say that. But this way I'm rounding up. I want to call all of us to a place of being a stakeholder. If you're in a local church, what are the things you need to do? Like the great man of David did when he was about to die. You listen, let me say this to you. Do you know that in warfare, we come to know what we call the fifth columnist? The fifth columnist are the people that are inside the house and they are working against the house. May you not be part of such people. The people, you know, I said to you the other time, a war is done when the leader is caught. It will surprise you that you have people in a local church that are working towards the death of their pastor. They don't want the church to progress. They don't want the church to succeed. They don't want the pastors to succeed. May that never be your place. Because listen, when you are the object of your pastor's failure, judgments await you. What are the things you hold a servant of God? Number one, your prayers. And I want to say you need to pray. Our pastor, our leaders deserves our prayer. If you are not going to do anything in a local church, pray for your pastor. Take time to pray for your leaders. Even in a smaller group, you have a leader. Take time to pray for that leader. Take time to pray for your pastor. He needs it. Number two, be an armor bearer. Be a support. Don't be a problem, but be a problem solver. Be an armor bearer. Man was close to David, otherwise David would have been killed. An armor bearer is a supporter. He's a burden bearer. You know, now we are saying that let's do something. We don't have a ministry. We have choir now. We have children church. Sister Muiwa's wife. And then the other three people. Bride Elijah's wife. Mm-hmm. This one said we have a manual to train. I said, should I show you? I need you available to help the children. Which manual do you want to show me? Will I say the manual is not okay? They understand. 2 weeks ago, they said, this place is sweet, Pastor. Let's take them to that money. Ah, my monk, my ben, yeah. That place is not where we agree. He said, Pastor, we arrange here, there. We are taking the children here. This morning now, they said, the children will go into their church. Money church, you will let it me. The children will go to their church after discipleship class. Or, sir, should we wait before discipleship? I say anything you say. Those are hammer bearers. They take right decisions. They want to make the burden, you know, lesser. Some people have come to me and say, Pastor, I'll be coming here. This is what I want to do. But I mean, I was not going to come here. I guess he came here and he said, how can I leave for Sunday? If I left, the whole thing will scatter. And that's the truth. I didn't know about equipment. I didn't know about sound. I didn't know about changing. I knew nothing. When we were going to start this place, I was procrastinating. I'm waiting for some money. We renovate. I'm waiting for some money. Bra Lalu, he gave me biok. I said, Lalu, let's start this thing. We elo January. I get elo get kinika. Yeah, that's how we started. We finished this whole place in 3 weeks, isn't it? In 3 weeks. Next week, I want you to see the picture. I asked you to take the pictures. Let's see pictures of before and after. So you know the transformation that happened here. 3 weeks. I said, let's just go and start. It was a man that was available. People that gave us budget of 1 million. You say, Pastor, don't worry. This 1 million that you are giving me, we divide into six places. The one that are giving us invoice of 500, he gave them 150. The one that gave invoice of 700, he gave them 300. The one, he said, more money will come. Those are the people that you need. Those are hammer bearer. No problem. It's not that Pastor Woyima Titan. You know, there's some people like that in church. Some of my directors, they were talking to me. You know, there are various churches. They short change one galley church. They will inflate invoices. They inflate invoices. Those are problems. Those are not problem solvers. And I said, discourse, don't destroy. As a person, for me, I run an open door policy. Some of people in my office, they attend this church. You know, anybody comes into my office, I don't turn people back. So in church, that's my staff. Discourse. Instead of saying something that you don't understand, don't do that. Come to me. Come and discuss. Don't destroy. It's the people. One thing I know, a philosopher, know the truth is this. People will always talk. They understand. So, be available for them to talk to you. If you are not available, they will talk to the wrong person. They will say what they want to say. And they will say it at the time that we destroy things. So, have a culture of discussing and not destroying. We have some headers here that we can talk to. If you have pieces of advice, you can give to them. You can talk to me. Do you understand that? That's the way to help your leader. Not to go back and then be finishing everything. Be a part of the people that build. And don't be backbiters. I conclude. Listen to me. If salvation is the ultimate of God for your life, the day you gave your life to Jesus, you should afford it. Or individual rapturing should be taking place. If salvation is the purpose of the church, The day you gave your life to Christ, rapture should have happened and then you'd have gone. The day you gave your life to Christ, you'd have died and then you'd have gone. But you see, salvation is a means, vehicle to fulfilling God's purpose. Salvation is not the end. And so I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we were saved so that we can be servants. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I suppose, when God was saying that, my son Timothy, take advantage that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you read through the chapter. God was talking about various other means a Christian should exist. It talks about a Christian be an husbandman. It talks about, running a race. It talks about a Christian, being a fighter. You go and read it. But he opened. He said, take advantage of the grace as my son. Then, don't forget that you're in warfare. Don't forget that you are running a race. Don't forget you are a husbandman cultivating a field. About 7 different attributes of sonship. So in other words, the thing that gives you an entrance into the purpose is sonship. But then after that, you become like men of David. From sonship, you become a servant. May you never be found wanting. May your life never be wished. I stand an alarm in Zion. When a man is given an opportunity, and the man will waste that opportunity will be taken from him and be given to his neighbor. May that never be your testimony in the name of Jesus. God has given everybody that is seated here some talent, some callings. Rise, fulfill, and run your race. May your life never be a waste. Can you please bow down heads? Father, we thank you. Oh, glorious, glorious Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for a day like this. Thank you for light shone on our hearts. Thank you, help that has come your way. Hallelujah. Can we please all rise to our feet as I make this call? I want all of us to rededicate life to God's purpose. I'm not saying rededicate your life to Christ, to God's purpose. You've been living your life as a Christian. There's nothing you can point to that you are doing. Like I said here in church the first day, before I finish medical school, I've known that I'm a preacher. How are you living your life? There's nothing you are doing. There's no purpose you are serving. I want you to just pray to God and dedicate your life for his purpose. Especially if you're a member of this church, dedicate your life to something. And say, Lord, I want to be available to serve you in this respect. I don't know what you're praying, but pray to God. It's between you and God. Don't just be coming to church. That's not the way. Just say to God. And if you committed yourself to something, it's a time now to say, Lord, help me. I don't want to fall by the wayside. This is what I'm doing in local church. I don't want to fall by the wayside. Lord, help me by the Holy Spirit. When you ask for God's help, God is available to her. God is available to her. You say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And you are thirsty for a new level of service, or you are thirsty for excellence in service, you pray to God. You say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I want to do more. I'm not satisfied. Yes, I'm doing something, but I'm not satisfied. I want to do more. Thank you, Father. Mabrega diga soso frehesta, halikatambrege dolia gazashta haka, mehedega dugregisto, foli beleke santa, mususu freheke diza zabragashta. Oh, thank you. The love of Jesus overwhelms us. The love of Jesus overwhelms us. Thank you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the word of comfort. Thank you for the word of encouragement. Thank you for your light that have shone in our hearts. Thank you for help that has come our way. Thank you because our lives will not remain the same again. We give you praise. As we move in this week, we move by the speed of the Holy Ghost. We move by the strength of the Holy Ghost. It shall be a week of possibilities. We shall not fall. We shall not falter. Doors will be opened. When we knock, the door will be opened. When the door is not opened, the door will be broken by the supernatural force. When the door is open, favor will beckon from the other side. Smile will beckon on the other side. Esther took a risk, but the risk turned out to be a testimony. The risk you will take this week will come out to be a testimony. In the name of Jesus, you return to give glory to God because God would have encountered you. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God, come and put your hands together for the King.